just feel like crying. Cause baby, something beautiful found me. You lost that love in me.
Well, good morning and welcome to Monday. Evan Bray, great to have you here. Hope you had a great weekend. Despite the Ryder loss, if you're wanting to get harvest done, despite the rain and hail that went through the weekend, which, of course, if nothing else, stopped farming in different parts of the province as well. But despite all of that, I hope you had a great weekend. Thanks so much for joining us. We've got a full Monday show planned. Lots on the go. Boy, what a tragic event that happened over the weekend. What the RCMP are calling a suspicious death of a 44-year-old woman from Weyburn on Friday night, shot while driving in a vehicle on the highway. Lots of unanswered questions. The RCMP still do not have someone under arrest. We are following this story closely in our newsroom. And in fact, coming up at 9 o'clock, have Superintendent Joshua Graham joining our program. We've had Joshua on before. He is the Saskatchewan RCMP officer in charge of major crimes, so they have taken over this investigation. We'll get the latest from him and hopefully answer a few of your questions and concerns that come from that situation. Also, on the program today, homelessness has been a topic of discussion for quite a while now. Both Regina, Saskatoon Council spending time and resources. Some say too much, others say not enough. What about the people who have a drug habit, fueling their inability to find stable housing? They're choosing not to participate in programs designed to help. Is this where mandatory treatment comes in? Two of my original Roundtable of Justice guests, back when I first started this program, are back today to talk about drugs, the drug issue in our province, and what steps towards a solution might look like. Also, the number of international students declining to because, of course, a restriction by the feds on student visas. What does this mean for our children? Do local children pay more now for university because of the restriction on international students? I've got Jeff Keshen from the University of Regina coming up. Our Green and White Prague winner coming up at 9 and a whole lot more. Let's get going with today's big talker.
Let's get out of business, shall we?
Welcome. Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show. The Big Talker.
Well, we know September 15th, which is today, is the first day back for Parliament. They officially resume sitting in the House today, and I'm happy to start our conversation with Saskatchewan MP Andrew Scheer from the Conservative Party. Andrew, thank you so much for joining us today.
Always great to be on.
So we just saw towards the end of the week last week, the federal government, well, Prime Minister Mark Carney announcing the five first projects announced in what's going to be, it sounds like a suite of nation building projects. Maybe just start with your thoughts.
Well, I know that's what Mark Carney would like people to think, but there's nothing really big here. There's no pipeline. Conservatives have been calling for a pipeline to the West Coast to open up Asian markets to our clean and ethical oil. We've been long pushing for a West to East pipeline that would bring our country together, displace foreign oil coming into Eastern refineries, and get us off of the U.S. market. The biggest smile on faces last week must have been Donald Trump's, knowing that he can continue to buy Canadian oil at a discount because Mark Carney has refused to open up paths to new markets. It's devastating news for people in Saskatchewan who have lost their job in the energy sector, the steel workers in Regina that were hoping that a pipeline project might mean jobs coming back there. As you know, it's been tough in that sector in our city now for ever since the Liberals formed government. So Mark Carney promised to do big things at unimaginable speeds, and he's proving last week that he's just another Liberal, doesn't believe in our energy sector.
So is there any credibility to the statement? And one of the people that I saw make this statement was Alberta Premier Danielle Smith, saying, you know what, the fact that there's no pipelines in there, maybe not a bad thing, because the regulatory policies and legislation isn't set up right now to incentivize investment in pipelines anyway. So essentially what I heard Premier Smith say is we need that regulatory change before we could even start thinking about pipelines. Is there any credibility to that, Andrew?
Well, she's certainly correct in saying that the investment has fled Canada thanks to Liberal regulations and laws. The Liberals passed the No New Pipelines law. They passed the shipping ban, which makes it illegal to sell Canadian energy off the West Coast, but doesn't affect any other countries' tankers from going up and down the coast. So she's not wrong in the sense that billions of dollars have left the Canadian economy to go into the U.S. economy thanks to Liberal rules and regulations. And yes, the best solution, rather than give Mark Carney the power to pick and choose which projects go ahead, the best thing to do is to get rid of those roadblocks, those hurdles, that red tape, and let the market decide, let investors decide which projects to pursue, let consumers decide. Mark Carney's creating a brand new chapter in the Canadian economy where companies have to please politicians and convince politicians as to whether their projects should succeed instead of letting the market decide.
Would the free market, as you describe it, Andrew, would it place naturally the right priorities on projects that would drive the economy, or does the government have a role in that?
Well, it would if the rules are fair and common sense. You know, when there are environmental rules that say, okay, you know, the thickness of the steel on the pipeline must be so many inches, when, you know, it has to be so many feet away from an aquifer, like those make sense, and any company can decide if they can make a project go that. There is clearly a demand. There is clearly a demand for oil. The United States has signed deals for billions of dollars with countries that came to Canada first. But the reason why it's not happening in Canada is because of these rules and regulations that the Liberals have put in. So good, you know, strong and robust Indigenous consultation rules, robust environmental rules that protect our natural environment, those all make sense. But what the Liberals have done is they have put unfair regulations in. And remember, when they canceled Northern Gateway, that was a project that had First Nations partnerships agreements all along the route. It would have opened up new markets in Asia and would have absolutely created jobs in the steel sector. That was a project that investors wanted to build and that had a market for it, and the Liberals killed it. So yes, absolutely, when the free market works, you do get amazing things that happen on a national level.
I know when we had your leader, Pierre Poilievre, in studio and on the program, one of the things that he talked about and wanted to see is investment in and building out the LNG sector. LNG was part of the announcement that we heard late last week. Do you give credit to Mark Carney, to the government, on any positive steps? Do you see any part of this first announcement as good steps forward?
Well, let's just take a quick step back, though, and realize that these are projects that were already being proposed that Mark Carney is saying we're going to give special exemptions to existing rules that every other project has to play with. The best solution is just say, hey, if this particular project can go through without having to jump through as many hurdles or all the red tape, why not just do that for everybody and then let the market decide? And again, we have to think about this. Like, he promised to move at unimaginable speeds and get big, big, big things done. He's announced a list that's now going to go to an office that isn't even up and running yet. He's been prime minister for 6 months. We're facing these tariffs from the U.S. It's having a devastating effect on our economy. He promised to move quickly. Nothing is getting done. Anybody who voted for Mark Carney, expecting that he would get big things done quickly and be different from Justin Trudeau, must have just been severely disappointed last week.
Andrew Scheer is my guest, Member of Parliament for Regina Qu'Appelle and, of course, Conservative Party of Canada. So I want to talk a bit about budget. I mean, the fall is shaping up to be a busy one. We will likely see a budget tabled. It sounds like maybe October. Knowing the trade turmoil that exists in the world, do you as opposition give government grace on this budget, knowing that money is going to have to be spent and kind of being labeled as the cost of sovereignty?
Well, there are people who want to use their own money to build up our economy, and Mark Carney is saying no to them. He's saying no to all the energy companies that have had to invest in the United States and South America and Europe now. They would have rather invested in Canada, but Mark Carney said no to them. So I don't give a party grace that's been in power for 10 years that have blown away Canada's fiscal wiggle room after decades of a full decade of massive deficit spending that drove up inflation and interest rates. They don't get any credit for me or any kind of, what are they supposed to do? They're simultaneously telling private sector investments that they're not allowed to put their money to use building up Canada's economy and using that as an excuse to flood our economy with even more borrowed money and deficit spending. We know what happens when the government borrows billions and billions of dollars. It floods our economy with new money that is the foundation building block of inflation and high interest rates. We saw that with Justin Trudeau, and we're very concerned that Mark Carney is going to spend even more money than Justin Trudeau.
I want to just switch to a couple of other quick topics before we run out of time. Canadians, long before the word tariff was even back in our vocabulary in a substantial way, we talked a lot about cost of living and housing and affordability. What measures will the Conservatives want to bring forward in this fall sitting that will make a difference for Canadians?
Well, we were the ones that first raised the alarm on inflation. Pierre Poilievre was warning Canadians that what Justin Trudeau was doing, supported by Mark Carney, was going to lead to inflation. When inflation happens, it means that people's paychecks don't go as far. They can't purchase as many things for the work that they've done. And so we've been calling on all different kinds of things to address the cost of living crisis. Broad-based tax relief so that people earn more of what they keep, a grip on government spending so that inflation doesn't rise again, and, you know, practical things to address housing with taking the GST off of homes. And we still believe that the fuel standards that the Liberals are pushing through, I mean, consider this, Evan, there is a backdoor carbon tax coming. The Liberals are pushing in this fuel standards. That is going to add 17 cents a liter. That is money that Canadians do not have to spend on a terrible policy that is, again, not just going to drive out investment in our energy sector here in Saskatchewan, but really hammer Saskatchewan consumers. Nobody I talk to wants to pay 17 cents extra a liter of gas.
Is there a way that you can build nation-building projects, become an energy superpower, and continue to prioritize and focus on being a leader in decarbonization? Can those things coexist?
Well, you know, the energy sector in Canada has done tremendous work in reducing the intensity of its emissions. I think we also have to have a realistic analysis of the environmental challenge and not let the Stephen Guilbeaults of the world dictate that policy. But absolutely, there are lots of things. You know, the previous Conservative government worked with the Saskatchewan government here on things like carbon capture. So absolutely, but we cannot simultaneously say we need to protect ourselves against tariffs, we need to get our economy going, get people back to work, and then kneecap the very industry that provides billions of dollars of revenue to government coffers, creates hundreds of thousands of jobs, pays for our roads, our schools, and our hospitals. If Mark Carney doesn't quickly change course on that, we're going to be right back to where we were with Justin Trudeau, where the government has to print money to backfill the lack of investment in our economy. That leads to inflation, that leads to unsustainable interest rate hikes. Nobody wants to go through that again. We just experienced that, and now Mark Carney is proving that he's just another Liberal by going through the same playbook.
Conservative Party of Canada House Leader Andrew Scheer. We're almost out of time, but I just want to touch on this quickly. Premier Scott Moe, of course, has been in China working hard to try and get these Chinese tariffs removed off of various parts of ag industry, canola, peas, pork, huge effects on Saskatchewan's economy. There have been heavy cries from leaders in our province and frontline ag producers and farmers for the federal government to remove the tariff on Chinese EVs. That's what was the catalyst to this in the first place. It doesn't sound like the Liberal government or the Conservatives are interested in this. Why not?
Well, we are absolutely on the side of our canola producers. We were out quickly when these tariffs were slapped onto us. Took Mark Carney way too long to respond to that. We're going to definitely have more to say on this entire suite of issues. We were fighting against the EV mandates that Mark Carney was doubling down on, forcing consumers to buy cars that they don't want. I can assure you that you're going to see loud and robust support for not just our agricultural producers, but common sense policies that don't force products on Canadians that they don't want to buy.
Do you want to see that Chinese EV tariff come off, though?
I want to see a path back where we can back before Justin Trudeau so damaged our international relations with other countries, we were able to absolutely support our manufacturing sector and not face the consequences of tariffs. So, as I said, you'll hear more from us in the coming days and weeks as this file progresses. But I can assure you that conservatives are on the side of our canola producers. We understand the importance. I mean, Scott Moe rightly pointed out, and I repeated, and as many of our colleagues did, that the canola industry in Canada is worth more than steel and aluminum and other forms of the auto sector combined. It's over $40 billion industry, and it creates all kinds of jobs along the value added chain. And we recognize that in the Conservative Party, and we absolutely will stand with our canola producers.
Good stuff. We're going to have to leave it there. Andrew Scheer, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Evan. Always a pleasure.
Andrew Scheer, Member of Parliament for Regina Qu'Appelle, and of course, Conservative Party of Canada House Leader. And the House back in session today in Ottawa. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.